Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team appreciates your joining us this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by talking with Chris Stone from Gun Owners of America. Then Teresa Robinson will join us to discuss female veterans. And of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to introduce Chris Stone. He worked for a congressman for a while. Then he joined Gun Owners of America when President Obama began his gun control push and spent 3 years there successfully lobbying for Gun Owners of America on Capitol Hill. Then after working in the firearms industry as a lobbyist advocating for the Second Amendment, he returned to Gun Owners of America, and he is now their director of state and local affairs. So here's a guy who knows something about lobbying and looking out for a Second Amendment. Welcome, Chris. Glad you could join us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Chris, where did your interest in firearms and our Second Amendment come from? Is it something you grew up with, you learned from your parents or from friends or movies, or where did it all come from?
Yeah, I would say it's a combination of a lot of things. First of all, I myself am a civilian, but my father was in the Army for over 20 years. And so kind of grew up around firearms. And really, my parents, both my mom and dad, brought us up in that tradition, me and my siblings. And so I still remember the first time I went shooting when I was a young kid. I was at my grandma's house and got to shoot my dad's old 410 shotgun. And so I really grew up surrounded by firearms. My parents did a great job of teaching me and my siblings the importance of the Constitution, the importance of the Second Amendment. So I always had an interest in shooting sports and hunting and outdoors and history just from them. And so that's kind of what sparked my initial interest.
I'll bet that first time you fired a shotgun, you can remember the impact on your shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a 410s, it's obviously a small caliber, but it's a great one for kids to start out with. And I'm just appreciative of my dad introducing us at a young age. And so we always grew up with a healthy respect for firearms and obviously the four rules of firearm safety, but no fear, understanding that it's a tool and an instrument for self-defense and also for defending against tyranny and truly being an American patriot. And so that sparked my interest. And when my father got stationed in Northern Virginia, where GOA headquarters is conveniently located, I actually met some GOA staff at the church that we were attending. And that's how I got introduced to GOA. They had like a high school internship program. And so that is when I first got my feet wet and with the Second Amendment. And it kind of just kept continuing from there.
Well, you got involved in it, and I taught American government at local college for about 15 years, and I taught political science and politics. Poly means many. Ticks are blood-sucking insects. And if we're not careful, if we're not careful, the insects take over, but it's our job to make sure that they don't. And we can't do that by sitting on our hands and wondering what's going to happen next. So it sounds like your parents introduced you to one, good values, but also let you get involved in something where taking responsibility for keeping our country free and safe is something we are all supposed to do. Sounds like that's what your parents were like.
Absolutely. They were, and they still are. And I'm gratefully appreciative of that. And I know I'm trying to pass the same thing on to my two children that my wife and I have. And I'm very blessed to share that with my son and daughter. They both love shooting. We'll shoot 22 rifles together. And earlier, or back in 2023 of September, I was invited out to the Gun Rights Policy Conference in Phoenix and was able to speak there. And that was really a lot of the context of what I talked about, is that it's important for the Second Amendment community to really bridge all generational divides. Obviously, we have baby boomers and Gen Xers and millennials and Gen Z, and continue passing on that tradition and teaching the next generation why we have our constitutional rights, why our founders enshrined our God-given rights, because our rights don't come from government. It's merely our founding documents are enshrining what belongs to us, why we have them, and why they are a defense against tyranny, and why we are free men and women in this country. And so that's a lot of what we do at GOA. I mean, obviously, we are a Second Amendment advocacy group, but we believe in the entire Constitution, the entire Bill of Rights. And so I was very thankful, again, to get involved when I was in high school. And then even in college, I worked there part-time. As you mentioned, I left and worked for a congressman for a little bit and then worked in the financial services industry and then came back full-time during Barack Obama's push for gun control in 2012 and 2013. And that's when I really took off full-time.
Well, we need people to be doing this, and all of us don't have the time to do that. But it's really great that some group like Gun Owners of America is there to be doing the full-time advocacy. But we really, as American citizens, it's our country, and we have to be involved in supporting movements in the right direction and opposing those in the wrong direction. That's our responsibility as citizens. That's how I see it. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely. And, you know, GOA, we really pride ourselves as, you know, obviously I work in it full-time professionally, but we are a grassroots advocacy organization. We have about 2 million members nationwide, and our staff are spread out all across the country. And our key focus is getting individual Americans involved in the right to keep and bear arms, whether that is sending emails to your local state representatives or congressmen in Washington, D.C., making phone calls. We host grassroots activism trainings all across the country. We invite people to come out and give testimony in their local state legislature. And I can tell you, as someone who's lobbied in both Congress and in local state legislatures, when people make phone calls, when people send emails, when people show up to lobby days or Second Amendment events, we just went to one in Richmond, Virginia earlier this year for the kickstart of the Virginia legislative cycle. Politicians pay attention. And when you take action, that is what fundamentally impacts the laws that are made. And that is where the heart of our organization is at, is getting people involved in the battle of not just defending gun rights, but restoring gun rights.
Well said. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Chris Stone from Gun Owners of America. Chris, the Second Amendment isn't that complicated. It's really short. I'll read a direct quote. Here's what it says. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. That's not complicated, and the words aren't too long. I mean, anybody can figure that one out. But yet, there's all people who don't like what it says.
Yeah, it's unfortunately true. And, you know, we have the words of the Second Amendment plastered all over our office, in particular that part, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You know, I think a lot of individuals are deceived because they have been indoctrinated to believe that their rights come from government. And so when the government and people who are elected in office tell you what to think, you can be deceived into believing, oh, gun control might be a good idea, or restricting speech might be a good idea, or all these kind of things. And so that is part of our mission here, is reminding people, no, your rights are inherent to you. They come from our Creator. They are natural rights. And we have to reach, again, across all spans to remind our representatives, they work for us. We elected them to defend and protect our rights. And we have to keep training and showing Americans that very basis and foundation for our freedoms. It's very simple, but like you said, kind of in the beginning, poly means many, and, you know, ticks are blood-sucking insects. And we have to be active in electing good folks to represent us, and when they don't represent us, voting them out of office.
Yes, indeed, we do. It's our country. We have to take care of it. And to reinforce something you said, the Declaration of Independence includes the words, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. So as you pointed out, the rights didn't come from the government. The rights come from God. And we have to stand up for them. They're ours. And what are we going to do to our kids if we let them go away? There's more to discuss about the Second Amendment rights, and Chris is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends now. Go about halfway down each time. Do 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. Chris and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
America's veterans sacrificed in service to this country. They deserve quality medical care after taking off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America was instrumental in expanding access to needed care to millions of veterans by getting the VA Mission Act passed. But that fight continues until all veterans can get the care they need.
You can help empower veterans with better health care options. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Chris Stone from Gun Owners of America on our Second Amendment rights. Chris, I'm really gung-ho as a guy who taught American government in college for all those years. We citizens have to understand and get involved in our government. You can't do everything. You can't keep track of all 60 or 70 people you could vote for, but you've got to find a few things that are important to you, and you've got to be active in them. One of the things that elected officials are really bad at is reading minds. So if you don't communicate with them, they don't know how you feel. That makes sense to you?
It does. And, you know, it's kind of something we talked about, but that's the heart of our organization is that, you know, we are blessed, myself and other people, to work here full time, to be doing the legislative analysis, to be doing the bill tracking, to be doing the lobbying. And then we try and take all that and distill it into simple to understand information and action that we get out to our members. You know, if you visit gunowners.org, you can become a member. Even if you don't have the financial means, you can sign up for email alerts for free. And then we'll contact you and tell you what's going on and make it simple for you to get involved in the fight. Because like you said, I mean, people have jobs and they have families and they have kids, and they have a lot going on. But I can tell you, even when I was on the Hill in 2012 and 2013, lobbying against Obama's gun control package, the media was saying it was a done deal, that this was going to happen. There was no way to stop it. Yet we were intimately involved in that fight and stopped every single word of gun control. And a lot of that was due to our members relentlessly picking up the phone, sending emails, making personal visits, going to town hall meetings. And I talked to staff, I talked to members on the Hill, and they were constantly on the phone, hearing from our folks, hearing from patriotic Americans. So it truly does make a significant difference.
Well, it does. I mean, if you're an elected official and you don't hear from people very often, if you start hearing from them and you want to be reelected, which most people do, and you want to represent the people well, which is what you ran to do and your integrity wants you to do, of course it's going to influence you. 100%? No. But all we can do is let them know where we stand. It's our responsibility to do that. And it's their responsibility to live with what we said and to put it together, right?
Yes. And, you know, the way we kind of do that is a three-pronged approach at GOA. Obviously, we have the main association where we do our grassroots lobbying and activism with the help of our members. We also have a legal foundation, Gun Owners Foundation, that works tirelessly in the courts defending gun owners, filing lawsuits against states when they pass unconstitutional gun control bills. We've had a lot of success protecting our members through the foundation. And then we also have our Political Victory Fund, which is able to expressly advocate for the election of elected official or for the express defeat of somebody who's been abandoning their oath to the Constitution. And we use all three of those entities to help protect the Second Amendment, but they still come back to the central point of grassroots activism, getting involved, everyday Americans partnering with us and our staff members, whether it's in a state house or in Washington, D.C., or at a shooting sports event. We're all across the country all the time, meeting and traveling with folks. And so we've had a tremendous amount of success passing pro-gun laws, especially in state legislatures, and stopping gun control in Washington, D.C. through that approach.
You know, it's logical that you would do that because that's how our nation was designed to work. And we have to, as citizens, we have to accept our responsibility to get involved. And again, if you're raising a bunch of kids and you've got a bunch of stuff going on, you can only do a little bit, but you can do something. I've often asked people, can you give us 15 minutes a week to get on the phone or get on your email? Can you imagine what change that would make in our nation if everybody would give us 15 minutes a week?
Absolutely. And, you know, we try to make it as simple as possible. You know, right now, I'm thinking of a very pertinent example. We're pushing for constitutional carry, its passage in South Carolina right now. They're going to have a vote in the Senate. And so we've been contacting our members via the phones and via email. And you get that email, you click on the take action link. It's either got a pre-written message you can email, you can customize it yourself, or you can make a phone call and we give people the pointers to talk about. And so that's even less than 15 minutes. That takes, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. And when they get those calls, when they feel that pressure from their constituents that I'm paying attention to what you're doing, GOA is telling me about it, I'm a voter, I live in your district, you know, I may go to church with you or see you at the grocery store, you better go and do what we elected you to do. That's how real change takes place. And so we've been a really fiery advocate for the Second Amendment since 1976. And it is thanks to our members and more people getting involved.
Well, the reason that we have a country today is because we revolted against England when they were oppressive. So it is the people that need to be armed. The armed people keep the government honest. Look at the Soviet Union right now. There's an example of the other side. This is something we have to sustain that freedom that we have. And it's our responsibility. I know I'm sounding like I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but I appreciate what Gun Owners America is doing. You're not only challenging us, you're giving us a tool to make it easier for us to do our job as citizens, right?
Absolutely. And just to talk about, kind of expand on what you were saying, you know, our founders enshrined those rights in our laws as a bulwark against tyranny. And you can look at real life examples that have happened within the last few months or even the last few years of what happens when people are disarmed. Look at the invasion into Ukraine, where individuals had been disarmed there because of gun control. And when they were invaded, you could see the need for these people to be armed. And all of a sudden, the state was trying to arm people to defend their country. You know, obviously, look what happened in October when Hamas or terrorists invaded Israel and people were left disarmed and were slaughtered in their homes. And those are both horrible examples. But when people think that, oh, I don't need a firearm to protect myself, or, you know, that can't happen, stuff like that, you know, that doesn't happen anymore in modern society. We can look throughout history. In every country, every region of the world, that when people are disarmed, tyranny rises, bad things happen. And that is why it's our mission, again, not just to defend gun rights, but to restore the rights that have been taken from us, and especially at the state level in states like California, New York, New Jersey, Hawaii, Illinois, and other states too, that there's making a concerted effort to flip and pass more gun control. It's vitally important that we protect those rights. And again, like we've talked about, teach the next generation the importance of our history, the importance of our founding, why we are involved in our political systems.
Yes. And that doesn't mean everybody's got to own a gun. If you're not comfortable, you don't have to, but you have the right to. And that's the key thing. Chris, we're about out of time.
Absolutely.
Talk about how people can plug into GOA, learn more, get involved.
Absolutely. If you just go to gunowners.org, you can go to our website. You can sign up to become a member. It's $25 a year. Obviously, if you don't have the financial means to do that, it's okay. You can still sign up for our email alerts for free. We do not sell your information. That is protected and private. We won't spam you. But if you give us your information where you live, you'll get email alerts from us about things going on in Washington, D.C., things going on in your state and local government. And if you use social media, we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. We put out a lot of great educational content on YouTube if you kind of like the podcast stuff and listening to long form and short form media. And that's where you can go to join the fight and make a difference.
And I strongly encourage you to be involved. I sure am. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for sharing this important information today. Thank you for your strong defense of our constitutional rights. We're friends. We got to have you back on.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be on. I'd love to be on anytime that you give us an opportunity.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Teresa Robinson will discuss the status of female veterans. We'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you are giving serious thought to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure financially. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice, then take a break but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Hello. HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM. And shop today.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press. Reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
Welcome back to Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And it's a real pleasure to welcome to the show veteran Teresa Robinson. It was 11 years ago that we last discussed women veterans on this show, and it's time to make up for that negligence. Welcome, Teresa. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Danny. I appreciate you having me on today.
Teresa, start by telling us about your service. When and why did you join, and where did you serve?
I served in the United States Navy. I was stationed in Orlando and in San Diego, while NAS Miramar was my duty station. VF-124, we had the F-14 Tomcats. At the time, they were the most elite plane that the United States government had. We were a training unit. I joined the military probably because of lack of direction after high school, and it was a good opportunity for me. There was a lot of learning and growing that went on while I was in the military. I served 1974 to 76.
You know, that part of your story, an awful lot of your peers and my peers could say the same thing, couldn't they?
Yes.
They weren't sure what to do, and they grew a lot. Okay, our guest today is Mary Johnson. Please introduce her.
Well, I would like to introduce and welcome Mary to this phenomenal opportunity for female veterans, for their voices to be heard, finally. Mary, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
It's a pleasure to be here also. I grew up in the Fenville area in Michigan. I've been a Michigander all my life. I graduated from Butterworth Hospital School of Nursing with a diploma in 1974. I went back for my Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, or BSN. And from the University of Michigan. I will celebrate this year 50 years of being a nurse. I retired from nursing in 2020, just before COVID became a word. And it's probably a good thing, because I couldn't have left the hospital where I worked knowing that I was leaving behind people that we're going to have such a load working with COVID patients.
Well, Mary, what pushed you or encouraged you or what influenced your decision to join the military? And tell us about what branch you were in, when you served, maybe what your job was, where you were stationed.
Well, my dad was in the Army in World War II in the European theater. My husband was a Vietnam veteran. He was a Navy Seabee. So military runs in my family. And one of our friends was in the National Guard, one of the engineering units, and he said, you know, I think you'd really enjoy joining the National Guard. And this was 1983. I enjoy a challenge, and so I joined. At that time, it was the 207th Combat Support Hospital. We changed names a lot. We eventually became the 207th Evacuation Hospital, or 207th EVAC. This was the Michigan Army National Guard, and our main body was in Detroit. We had a detachment in Wyoming, Michigan. As a nurse, our weekends, on Saturdays, we did physicals, gave shots, and on Sundays, we did training. As officers, we joined the enlisted. We ran really as a hospital unit. It very different from other military units, and I'm thinking artillery, infantry. We called each other by our first names. We saluted when we needed to, but it was much more informal. Our unit was activated for Operation Desert Shield and Storm. So we spent about 4 months in Saudi Arabia. We were split between two military hospitals. Mine was a very elite hospital in that area. It would be similar to, say, Butterworth in our neck of the woods here in Michigan. I did infection control and I did mass casualty in the emergency room. We were extremely busy. We were tasked with taking care of the enemy POWs. And by the time we were done, we had put through almost 800 of them. And to listen to their stories, and I could go on for hours about our experience over there, but we found that many of them did not want to be in Saddam's army. They were forced to, and were very happy to see the Americans. We came home from that, our unit deactivated, and we became the 13th Hospital Unit Surgical, assigned to the 13th Hospital Unit based in Madison, Wisconsin. And because we really didn't have Wyoming at the Armory didn't have a home, we became the medical support for the engineering units in Michigan. So we got to go out and watch them build bridges and make roads. And we got to fire 50 caliber weapons. They showed us how to plant mines. We learned all sorts of interesting things that most nurses don't.
Mary, could I ask you, do you think joining the military was a good choice for you as a female?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you feel that you were treated as an equal with your male counterparts?
Yes. Yes, I do. But again, this was a hospital unit, so it was a little different. But when we supported other units, yes, we were treated. I was treated as an equal.
And you never received any notice or received any harassment?
I had one sergeant ask me one time if I wanted to have an affair, and I told him no. I was happily married, and turned him in. But
good,
I know
you.
He had also harassed enlisted women, and so I did not want him going any further than that.
Do you think that the military is a good opportunity for women? And that women should be serving in the military?
I do. I do. I think that there are so many opportunities. They can learn so many things and come out. If they decide to leave the military, they can come out with a trade or even a degree from a university or a college. So, yes, I think it's very worthwhile for them to go in.
And do you think that when women join, that they're capable of doing any of the jobs that are any, well, in the Navy, we call them billets. Could they fulfill any of those jobs in the military?
I believe they can. I believe they can.
Mary, I really appreciate, as a female veteran, from a female veteran to a female veteran, I really appreciate you being on today and sharing some of your story. Thank you so very much, and thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you for having me.
Let me jump on top of that, Mary. Thank you for joining us today. You're a great friend, and your service was extraordinary. I'm proud that you could join us. Teresa and I will be discussing women in the military every month. So thank you, Teresa, for your comments, for joining the Frontlines of Freedom team, and for helping us launch this great time. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up is time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want you Ranger ready. Then stand at ease. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. I do a bit of coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold. Go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Army vet Kevin wishes, among other things, that we still had control of the Panama Canal.
Kevin, that's a terrible thing. We built it, and China now runs it. What a country we're in.
And Army mom Suzanne really enjoyed learning about the Officers' Christian Fellowship. She'll be sharing with her son and other service moms she knows.
Thank you, Suzanne. A lot of good things happened because of the OCF. And now it's time for military history. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, we'll start with something that happened 81 years ago this weekend. Just after midnight, on 3 February 1943, a German U-boat torpedoed the ship Dorchester off Greenland. As the transport went down, Army chaplains George Fox, a Methodist, Alexander Good, a Jew, John Washington, a Catholic, and Clark Poling, Reformed, were seen giving their life vest to four men who had none. They are known and honored as the Four Chaplains. We remember them today.
Great men of God. And on 6 February 1778, during our War for Independence, representatives from the U.S. and France signed the Treaty of Amity and Commerce and the Treaty of Alliance. These treaties recognized the U.S. as an independent nation and encouraged trade between us and France, and provided a military alliance against Great Britain, stipulating that our absolute independence be recognized as a condition of peace, and that France could conquer the British West Indies. The eagerness of the French to help us was motivated both by their appreciation of our revolutionaries' democratic ideals and by bitterness of having lost most of their American empire to the British at the conclusion of the French and Indian Wars in 1763.
And on 6 February 1862, during our Civil War, General Ulysses Grant provided the first major Union victory of the war when he captured Fort Henry on the Tennessee River. 10 days later, he captured Fort Donelson on the Cumberland River, which gave the Yankees control of northern Tennessee and paved the way for the occupation of Nashville.
And on 6 February 1917, just 3 days after President Woodrow Wilson's speech on February 3rd, in which he broke diplomatic relations with Germany and warned that war would follow if American interests at sea were again assaulted, a German submarine torpedoed and sank the Anchor Line passenger steamer California off the Irish coast. This blatant German defiance of Wilson's warning, combined with the subsequent discovery of the Zimmermann telegram, an overture made by Germany's foreign minister to the Mexican government involving a possible Mexican-German alliance in the events of a war between Germany and the U.S., that drove Wilson. On April 2nd, he delivered his war message to Congress, and we entered World War I 4 days later.
Then on 8 February 1918, during World War I, the U.S. Army resumed publication of the military newsletter Stars and Stripes. Begun as a newsletter for Union soldiers during our Civil War, Stars and Stripes were published weekly during World War I. The newspaper was distributed to our soldiers across the Western Front to keep them unified and informed about the overall war effort, as well as supply them with news from the home front. The World War I era Stars and Stripes was largely the creation of Lieutenant Guy Wisniewski. The 8-page weekly publication featured news articles, sports, poetry, letters to the editor, and cartoons. The staff was mostly enlisted men. At its peak, Stars and Stripes reached a circulation of 526,000. Stars and Stripes resumed publication during World War II, during which circulation reached 1 million, serving as a daily hometown newspaper for service members, government civilians, and their families around the world. It has been in continuous publication in Europe since 1942 and in the Pacific since 1945. In these two regions, Stars and Stripes reaches 80,000 and 60,000 readers, respectively. It also publishes a Mideast edition, as well as an electronic edition on the internet.
And on 8 February 1943, during World War II, Japanese troops evacuated Guadalcanal. The American victory paved the way for other Allied wins in the Solomon Islands. The Japanese invaded in 1942 and began building a strategic airfield on Guadalcanal. And on the 7th of August, our Marines landed on the island, the Allies' first major offensive against the Japanese-held positions in the Pacific. The Japanese responded quickly with sea and air strikes. A series of bloody battles ensued in debilitating tropical heat as Marines sparred with Japanese troops on land, while in the nearby waters, our Navy fought 6 major engagements with the Japanese between August 24th and November 30th. Both sides suffered heavy losses of men, warships, and planes. An estimated 1,600 U.S. troops were killed, over 4,000 were wounded, and several thousand more died from disease. Japanese losses were 24,000, and on 31 December 1942, Emperor Hirohito told the Japanese troops they could withdraw from there. We secured Guadalcanal about 5 weeks later.
And on 7 February 1965, during the Vietnam War, as part of Operation Flaming Dart, 49 U.S. Navy jets from 7th Fleet carriers dropped bombs and rockets on the barracks and staging areas at Dong Hoi, a guerrilla training camp in North Vietnam. Escorted by U.S. jets, a follow-up raid by South Vietnamese planes bombed a North Vietnamese military communications center. These strikes were in retaliation for communist attacks in our installation at Camp Holloway and the Pleiku airfield in the Central Highlands, which killed 8 U.S. troops, wounded 109, and destroyed or damaged 20 aircraft. Our retaliatory raids didn't have the desired effect. On February 10, the Viet Cong struck again, this time at an American installation in Quy Nhon, killing 23 Americans. Johnson quickly ordered another retaliatory strike, Flaming Dart 2.
And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Skip, as a Marine, you're really going to enjoy this one. A Korean War Marine veteran fought off a pair of men who followed him home and pepper sprayed him in the face during a botched robbery. The Marine vet and his wife had just returned from church, but the assault had quickly backfired as the vet started swinging and landing punches on the robbers, chasing them out of his driveway. The two robbers, surprised by the vet's tenacity and ability to fight, began to retreat. The combat veteran screamed as he fought until his neighbors came to his aid and helped chase the thugs away. The robbers escaped in a waiting getaway car.
Thanks, Colonel. Hearing a story like this just does my heart good, and it's not just because I'm getting older myself or because I'm also a Marine vet. It's because this is what's needed to thwart crime. Here are some key takeaways from this story. First, what you allow, you teach. Part of the reason crime is so rampant right now is because people are allowed to get away with it. Hurting innocent people should always have a price tag for the violent offender. When the good guys don't fight back, the bad guys start feeling entitled, like they have a right to hurt people, and they're encouraged to do it more. Let's face it, crime usually pays, and that's why we see so much of it. When victims start fighting back, then it's no longer easy, and criminals begin to rethink their line of work. Second, you can't win if you don't fight back. People who surrender without a fight never win the battle because they never engaged in the first place. If you want to win, then you have to fight, and that means taking the chance on getting hurt. Even many law enforcement officers will advise citizens to comply with whatever demands are being made on them. But more and more citizens are fighting back simply because they're starting to realize that compliance breeds more crime. Remember John Locke's famous quote, "All evil needs to succeed is for good men to do nothing." And once you decide to resist, hold nothing back. You bite, kick, scratch, and scream out your war cry until the enemy goes down or runs away. And finally, this 80-something Marine vet would have been better served by carrying a pistol for personal protection rather than engaging in hand-to-hand combat with two young men. He already has the training and the warrior mindset, so he might as well carry the right tool for the job. Frontlines of Freedom has nothing but praise for this young-at-heart military vet, and we wish him all the best as he continues to enjoy his golden years, taking his wife to church and watching over the community. And kudos to the younger neighbors who came to his aid. Crime is getting worse, and we all have to stick together.
Our movie of the month is Alternative Math. It's incredibly funny. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom, get the blog, and get the link, and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Mark Tapson will discuss DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's bad. General Paul Valley will share about the invasion across our southern border, and Gil and Skip will discuss border and book. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Please plug in to Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the Frontlines of Freedom. Dismissed.